The book of Psalms is a great book, amen. Many of us have gained strength and help and received comfort through the pen of the different authors that have penned down the Psalms that the Lord gave them when they were faced with different circumstances in their life. The Psalms are divided basically in five books. Five books are represented within the one book that we call in our Bible the book of Psalms. Each one of those five sections ends with a doxology. The first 41 verses represent, our first 41 chapters represent the first book. Then from verse 42 through verse 72, you have what we call the second book or the second movement of the Psalms. Psalm 73 through verse or chapter 89 is the third book, the third section of this poetic book. Then Psalms chapter 90 and verse and chapter 1 through chapter 106 gives us the fourth movement or the fourth section of the book of Psalms. And then we end up with the fifth book and the final doxology in Psalms 107 through Psalms 150. The psalm, the word itself, means a poem that is sung to musical accompaniment. And so that's what the word Psalms means in the Greek. In the Hebrew, the word basically means praise. Just simply, these are praises that came forth from the lips of the people of God. And so we find out that in our day, the songs that we write about the circumstances of life that we face, we use rhymes to unveil the movement of the song that we might write, where in this Eastern culture and in the Word of God, it's more of a parallelism. And so we may look at that later on. But the word psalm basically means, again, it is a poem with an accompaniment, a musical accompaniment. And then in the Hebrew, it means praise. So you can read that and read these Psalms with that in mind. The collection of songs that was used here were considered the prayer and the praise book of the children of Israel. As you travel through the book of Psalms, you'll find yourself walking down the road of human experience. And it's well to remember that when you read these songs. It's important to understand that somebody is moved by a circumstance in life that has created, amen, these words that are pinned down in the Word of God. Truth is revealed about every area of life through the circumstances that the people of God had passed through. You'll read about the noise, or you'll hear the noise of battle as you read the Psalms. You'll hear the sounds of joy. The weeping of a broken heart can be sensed in the book of Psalms. The fury of anger can be seen. The questions of doubt and the expressions of dismay are seen as you read through the book of Psalms. The silence of a hushed heart in the sanctuary as God begins to move and to meet with his people. You can see that as you read through the pages of the book of Psalms. Many things are found in the way of themes. You're going to read about love. We'll talk about love from the book of Psalms, and we'll also be introduced to the subject of hate. Joy is found in these passages. Sorrow, hope, fear, peace, strife, faith, and despair. All are here in the pages of the Word of God. Every human emotion is seen bursting with melody and rhyme from the book of Psalms. It contains a vast storehouse of human experience. And I know a lot of times when we read these truths, we read these words from the psalmist, we are expecting to be moved spiritually and emotionally. But it's very good to know that each one of these psalms have been written, amen, because of a difficulty, a circumstance, a victory, an experience, amen, in life. The psalm is a book of praise. It is a book of poetry. The Psalm is a book of prophecy. It's a book about people. It's a book about principle. It's a book about problems. It's a book about perplexity. It's a book about passion. And it's a book about purpose. The book of Psalms is a great book. Whether the writer is looking back in history, or looking up into the heavens, or looking around at his problems, he first of all looks by faith to the Lord before he pins down the words that are before us. The Psalms teach us to have a personal relationship with God as we tell him our hurts and our needs, and as we meditate on his greatness and his glory. Psalms 1. We are introduced to Psalms 1 with the introduction to two individuals. There is a blessed man here in Psalms 1, and there is a man that is bewildered. There is a godly man in Psalms 1, and there is a godless man. There is a man in Psalms 1 that is happy, that is holy. And there is a man in Psalms 1 that is hopeless and helpless. Psalms 1 could be given several titles. If you want to think about it this way, the godly and the ungodly. I preached that thought from Psalms 1 many times through the years. The only two options of life. I thought about that. That'd be a good title for the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. You have two options in life. The devil may tell you that you've got a lot of different paths of prosperity that you can travel. But the psalmist tells us in Psalms 1 that there's only two. There's only two paths in life. Only two options. I could go to verse 6 where the Bible said, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I could preach this morning on which way will you take. I could talk about happy and helplessness. I could talk about prosperity or perishing. These verses in this psalm unveil to us all of these themes, all of these topics. There are two men here. Two men. The author is unknown. We don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. But there is a saint here before us and a sinner. There's a godly man and an ungodly man. One of these men is described as happy while the other is helpless. The happy man is described as a man that is blessed. He is blessed by God. That's what the word blessed means in verse number 1. Blessed is the man, happy is the man. That's what the word means. This man knows what it means to have joy, peace, and happiness in his life. Then there is the helpless man, the man that is ungodly. This man in the latter part of this chapter is a wicked man. He is a man that is in sin. He is a man that is guilty of ungodliness. He is a man that has sinned against God. He is a man that is in his sin, yet a man that is miserable in the state that he's in. Their condition, both men's condition is explained to us in Psalms 1. And both choices that these men have made with their life has been explained. I was sitting there thinking while they were singing about this chapter and about the first part concerning the attributes of this happy man. And I thought about three things that the Lord just pointed out to me from these verses. There's a promise to the happy man. There is a pleasure that this happy man has, and there is a planting. This man is planted. And I never have thought about it that way. I especially never have thought about it this way. He has received a promise from God. You ever noticed how the devil and Satan and the world and the flesh will make you promises? I never thought about this till just a moment ago. Here's what the devil said. He said, "If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." You see, that's how the devil promises. He's always got an if. Because see, if he can talk you into doing something, amen, and he gets you to do it, then he don't have to pay off. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. He's the father of lies. He can't tell the truth. He doesn't have the ability to tell the truth. But you can believe his lie, and you can believe his deception, and you can do his bidding for him, amen, and still be bankrupt at the end of the day, because the devil doesn't ever pay off. But God didn't make a promise like that in Psalms 1. I never thought about it this way. He said, blessed is the man. Before he even tells us what it means to be blessed, before he even tells us what he's done to be blessed, before he ever gives us any criteria or prerequisites about being happy and blessed, God said, blessed is the man. I'm going to make you the promise before I give you the criteria. I'm going to make you the promise before I give you the prerequisites. I'm going to tell you, I will bless you. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for that promise in the Word of God. Blessed is the man. Then I thought about verse 2. This man has pleasure. Amen. He delights in the law of the Lord. You know something? The devil will offer you pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. But the Word of God, listen to me now. Sin's only for a season. It'll run out and run out quick. But we know that the Word of God standeth forever. Now think about this with me for a minute. The Word of God is settled in heaven. It's going to be here forever. The flower may wither and the grass wither and the flower fadeth away, but the Word of God is going to be forever. And this blessed man, he has pleasure in the Word of God. So his pleasure is not for a season. Praise God, his pleasure is everlasting. His pleasure is eternal. His pleasure will last. His pleasure will endure because the Word of God is where he finds his pleasure. What are you pleasure in today? Amen. This man's happy. This man's blessed. He's happy and he's blessed because he finds pleasure in the Word of God. Verse 2 tells us his delight is in the law of the Lord. Then he's planted. Well, I tell you, in verse 3, we're told that this man is planted like a tree by the rivers of water. You know what that means? Now, I'm going to tell you what. There's a difference between being planted and being stuck. Amen. I've seen some people that claim to be saved and claim to know the Lord, but from the way they look and the way they act, they look more like they're stuck instead of planted. You can stick a stick in the ground, but it's not planted. It don't have any life. You can even plant it by a creek somewhere, but it's still going to sit there and be dead. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us this blessed man, this happy man, is a man that's planted. Amen. He's planted by the rivers of water. He has all the food and the nourishment that he needs for life. Amen. He has life. He lives. He moves. He's fruitful. And he prospers. His leaf never withers because he is blessed of God. Amen. This man is a happy man. Notice some things we see about this man. I've given you some of these before, but let me give them to you again because this is where we're at. We're going to preach through the book of Psalms. We got to start somewhere. Amen. So we're going to start in chapter number 1. First of all, in verse 1, we see this man's steps. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see this man's steps, and when we think of his steps, we come to a conclusion as to who he's following. May I say to you this morning that you're following something. You're following someone this morning. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The psychologist would tell us this. Happiness is found in the positive. That's what the psychologists tell us. In other words, if you're faced with depression and you can't really cope with life, then you need to start thinking about positive things. Because that's where happiness is found, in the realm of humanistic thinking. But not so with God's standpoint here in the text. Here in Psalms 1, the happy man is seen by the things he does not do.
He finds happiness in not what he's doing. He finds happiness in the determination that he has made in his heart and soul of things he's not going to do. Amen. And one of those things is the way he stands and where he walks and what he does with his steps. Amen. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, listen carefully. A man follows more with his ears than he does his feet. He says this man that's blessed, this man is happy, he does not follow the counsel of the ungodly. He's not walking down a path that has been unveiled to him through the advice of sinners, of wicked men. Amen. There's people right now in a mess. I mean, they are in a mess because they have followed the advice of the ungodly and they have refused and turned a deaf ear to godly counsel, to godly advice, and they have not yielded their heart and their mind and their ear to the man of God, to the word of God, to godly parents, and their world is upside down. Their life is in a mess this morning. Amen. But if you'll follow godly advice, if you'll follow, amen, godly advice, you can know what it means to be happy, even in the midst of adverse circumstances. The psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I believe that word delight would express to me that the man's happy. He delights in the way of God. He is happy to walk in the precepts and in the counsel of the Lord. The psalmist said, and order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. He says, I want my steps to be governed and guided by the Lord. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Men are taught by the world to believe only what they can test with their senses. Amen. But you better understand today that your flesh will deceive you, and your emotions and your affections will beguile you. And the greatest place of happiness is found in the individual who follows, amen, the will of God, who follows the word of God, who walks down the path of God's way for his life, his steps. Happiness is found when you determine what you're not going to do. You know, you're not going to do anything with your life. You're not going to do anything positive with your life, spiritually speaking, until you make some definite decisions about some things you're not going to do. Some of you boys may sit here and tell me what you're going to do, but sometimes I have a hard time believing it because of what you've chosen to do. Does that make sense? Some of you may tell me some intentions and desires that you have, and some ways that you want to live your life. You want to be a good wife. You want to have a good husband. You want a family. You want to raise children. You want to serve the Lord. I've had families in this church, amen, stand. I've had young people stand in my office, and I said, what do you want in life? We just want to get married, preacher. We just want to live godly. We want to be a part of the church. We want to serve the Lord. I've sat there and listen to that, and then I thought in my mind, brother, what they are doing with their life, the choices that they have made, and the things that they have not determined in their mind that they will not do. They never find happiness. You boys listening to me this morning, you want to serve the Lord, you want to be a blessed man. I'm blessed this morning. Blessed beyond measure. Amen. I'm blessed beyond measure. My family's in the house of God. Are you listening? My grandchildren are in the house of God. I praise the Lord for that. My son-in-laws are in the house of God. Amen. My wife's here with me this morning. I preached to people yesterday. I preached to a man yesterday who was a preacher, who's pastored a church. He had little children sitting beside of it. Man that loves God. Man that's been to this church and been in meetings here at this church. I mean, a man with a heart for God. He had his children with him, but his wife wasn't there. She's done left him. You listening? I mean, a good man. Man that loves the Lord. Man that has a heart for God. He is impaired right now because his wife has left him. Is anybody listening? You see, happiness is found, amen, where you read, when you make some very rational decisions about what you're not going to do. I need you to get a hold of that this morning. Some of you, before you start telling me what you want to do, I've had them say this. I've had them say, preacher, I want to be a part of missions. Preacher, I want to be a part of this ministry. Preacher, I want to be a part of this ministry. I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. This is what I envision myself doing in the will of God in days to come, but I see them doing things with their life that is going to stop them from ever doing what they say they have hopes and dreams to fulfill. Now, I'm going to tell you what you need to do this morning. As a daddy, as a mother, what you need to do this morning as a young man, as a young lady, before you leave this building, you need to determine that there are some things that you are not going to do. Back yourself in a corner and say, I am not going down that road. I am not listening to that. I am not looking at that. I am not talking that way. I am not going to walk down the path of the ungodly. Because until you do that, you're never going to be able to fulfill the will of God. This man is a happy man. This man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. And in that, we find out who he's not following, I guess I should say. Amen. So to be a blessed man, to be a happy man, to be a man of joy, satisfaction, a man that has life, a man that knows prosperity in his labors, this man's steps has to be. His steps has to be viewed where he's not taking himself. Where are you taking yourself? Where are you headed? Where'd you go last night? Where'd you go this week? You listening? Notice his steps. Secondly, notice his stand, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Blessed. Can I say this? Surely, and I have met some people. I've pastored some. I don't know that I pastored some. I pestered some people. Amen. I didn't pastor them. But I've pestered some people that I believe got up each morning just to try to figure out how miserable they could be. Amen. You ever been around somebody like that? Always negative. Always griping and moaning and complaining about something all the time. I mean, they seem to live for misery. Gloom, despair. Misery on me. Deep, dark depression. That's what they look for. I found a few. But I would trust that that's not the majority in the building this afternoon. I would hope, amen, that today you would say, preacher, I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be consumed with doubt, dismay, and depression. I want to have some joy. I want to have some peace. I want to be happy. I want to be able to smile. I want to be able to express a countenance, amen, of joy and gladness. If that's the case, amen, and I trust that it is, amen, you're going to have to realize there's some things you cannot do. Amen. And your steps are going to have to be regulated by that reality. His stand is seen. You see, his steps talk about who he follows. Primarily, his steps tell us who he's not following. He is not following the world.
He is not walking down the path of the ungodly. He is not. You ever seen somebody just follow somebody off the edge of a cliff just because, amen, they like them or they are influential, but no matter how wicked they are? Then we see a stand. That tells us who his friends are. Blessed is the man. You listening to me? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You see, where he stands is letting me know who his friends are. You read the Bible, you'll find them standing on the street corner, standing in the streets, idle. You'll find them just standing around, hanging out, y'all call it in this day. Who are your friends? What does it mean to stand in the way of sinners? Now, that can be applied in several different ways. But when you stand in the way of a sinner, that means that you are associating yourself with him. Now, you may not be doing what they're doing. Is everybody listening? You may not be involved in the sin they're involved in. You may not be living like they're living. You may not even be talking the way they're talking. You may not even be influenced or involved in the sin that they are involved in, but you're just standing there with them. Amen. You say, I'm not doing it. Preacher, I wasn't doing it. I was there, but I wasn't doing it. You didn't have any business being there, son. That's your problem. Amen. Preacher, I didn't have a thing to do with that. I know it looks bad. You got that right, buddy. It looks bad. That's the problem. Amen. It looks bad. But God knows my heart. I'm not God. Amen. God looks on the inward. I'm not God. I can't see inside of you. All I can see is what I see on the outside. And you didn't have no business, amen, being in the way of sinners. You didn't have no business being there, guilty by association. I'm telling you, you can't find happiness, you can't find joy, and you can't be blessed of God standing in the way of sinners. That's right. Is everybody listening? Amen. You see a stand. That's telling us who his friends are. Amen. Amen. God help us. I'm going to tell you what. Abraham went down to Egypt. He got down there before you know what he's lying. Lot went down to Sodom. He wasn't there very long, and he started vexing his righteous soul with the conversation of the wicked. He lost his children, lost his grandchildren in Sodom. When the judgment of God fell, Lot got him. Hey, he got out, and he got his wife out, but he didn't get her really out. Amen. He might have drug her out of Sodom, but he didn't get Sodom out of her. And he lost her on the outskirts of the city. Amen. And his children, he drug them out, and they were virgins when he brought them out. But they were perverted in their mind because of the influence of Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter had warmed himself for a little while. Oh, Peter, he wasn't really one of them that was going to cry out, crucify him. He was a disciple. Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. And Peter had seen the Lord do great things. And he just wanted to be there and see what's going on. He just wanted to be where Jesus was at when they were going to make that trial against him and then crucify him. And Peter's warming himself by the devil's fire. He ain't saying anything. He's minding his own business. He's in a covert operation. He's just checking things out. You know what he's doing? He's standing. He's standing. Amen. Amen. He's standing in the way of sinners. That's what he's doing. He's over there warming himself by the devil's fire, standing in the way of sinners. And before you know it, that preacher of the gospel is cussing and denying that he even knows Jesus. He didn't leave a happy man. He left weeping. He left broken. He left remorseful. Because what he let the influence of the world do to him. Just because where he was standing. Standing in the way. Oh, preacher, I'm trying to win him. You're lying. They ain't one of them ever come to church with you. You're not winning them to the Lord. There was one evangelist of years gone by, let his hair grow out a little bit, bought him a motorcycle, and he said, I'm going to become all things to all men that I might win some. He didn't win anybody. He just made a fool out of himself. You listen to me. Blessed is the man. The blessed man is seen in where he stands. He stands, amen, with the people of God. And I could preach about where he stands, but the psalmist doesn't say a thing about where he's standing. It just emphasizes where he's not standing. And if you don't stand in the way of sinners, amen, you'll stand in the way of the righteous and the saints. Amen. We see his steps. We see his stand. We see his seat in verse 1. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His steps tell us who he's not following. His stand tells us who he's not allowing to be his friend. And I know what the Bible says about Jesus being a friend of sinners. Amen. But that's not what this psalmist is talking about here. His seat tells us who he would not fellowship with. Who he's fellowshipping with. Who he's not fellowshipping with. Note the progression. Walking. Standing. Sitting. You ever notice that in that psalm? Talks about where he's not walking. So that stops right there. For the blessed man, he don't have to worry about standing or sitting, because he's not walking. But he goes on and explains to us further the man that refuses to abide by those principles. What happens is he's walking in the way of sinners. Or he's walking in the counsel of the sinner. Then he's standing in the way of sinners. They just stand in them. And then before you know it, he's seated with them. He's sitting down with the ungodly. Who you been sitting around with? Huh? Who you been sitting around with? Some of you young married couples, who you sitting around with? You better be careful who you sit around with. Amen. There might be some people in this church you ain't got no business sitting around with. You may know their heart is wicked. I mean, I read, I don't know if it's true or not, so I won't even say what it was or who it was, amen, but I read where a pastor had taken some young people off and some young boys off and let them involve themselves in some things that's very perverted and ungodly. You may not be able to stand, sit with the pastor. This man was their pastor, Brother Henry. And you know, is everybody listening to the preacher this morning? You better figure out who you can sit with, who you can stand with. Amen. I'm telling you, that fellowship is a big deal. Amen. Who occupies your time? Most of the time, you can't have a spiritual conversation with anybody, because their mind is so carnal, it is so consumed with the flesh and the world, that you can't have a legitimate, realistic conversation in a spiritual sense with people about the things of God. You can't sit down with them. Who you fellowshipping with? Let me hurry. Notice his scripture. That's what his foundation revolves around. The Bible tells us in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I was wanting to finish with this blessed man. Let me just tell you this. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Some of you are done already. Let me get done, all right? His scripture, that's what his foundation is. That's where his delight's found. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The psalmist said, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. The psalmist said, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Paul said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
What kind of relationship do you have with the Word of God? This blessed man, this happy man, this man that knows pleasure and satisfaction in his walk with God, he has a relationship with the Word of God. He reads it. He meditates on it. He applies its principles to his life. It is a part of his necessary day. It is the very meat and means by which he is nourished and he grows in the Lord. He desires it. He has respect under the ways of God. He meditates in the precepts. He loves the law of God. Do you? Do you love the law of God? I'm going to tell you what, I got a little nudge and a little direction about studying the book of Psalms and preaching it here on Sunday mornings. And I'll be honest with you, buddy, I had a little bit of reviving in my soul. Just the anticipation of what the Lord may give me and what the Lord may do in my own heart and life as I plow through these Psalms and study them and look at them and let God feed my soul and work in my heart. Did it thrill you any at all that I'm going to preach through a book? Oh, Lord, here we are again, 8 long years probably of the Psalms every Sunday. God help us. I spent 6 years in the book of Revelation, didn't I, Rebecca? Amen. I think it was 6 years. Amen. I preached through the book of Daniel one time. This fellow from somewhere, Canada or somewhere, came visit the church. He said, I want to get them tapes. I was in chapter 2. He said, can you give me a copy of them tapes? I said, buddy, there's probably 40 of them already. I told him yesterday at the meeting, I preached about 12 or 14 messages on Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. They looked at me like I'd lost my mind. Like some of you looked at me about message number 6. Amen. But I mean, it excites me. It thrills me. God's going to feed me. God's going to give me something out of his word. The Lord's word. I delight in it. Amen. I desire it. I need it. Amen. Do you? You be blessed. Amen. If you'll hunger for it. If you'll develop, amen, a hunger and a thirst and a desire and a yearning, amen, for the word of God, it'll feed your soul. The man's blessed because of where his foundation is. It's in the word of God. Lastly, we see his success in verse 3. He's pictured as a tree. He's planted by the waters. He produces his fruit in his season. He is preserved in that God sees to it that his leaf never withers. And he prospers in the path and purpose of God for his life. I preached about that a little bit yesterday, about the purpose of God. I'm telling you, it thrilled me. I almost had a spell yesterday, whatever a spell is, amen. Brother Logston was there, and I don't know Brother Logston well. I don't even know how old he is, but I'd say he's up there pretty good. And he preached yesterday. Been pastoring for years. And I got to preaching about how the devil will use you and throw you aside and abuse you. And he don't care. He just wants what he can get out of you right now. And when you can't do his bidding and when you can't be a benefit to him, he's going to cast you aside. I run back there to old Brother Logston and I said, Brother Logston, did they call you today and ask you to run the football for some football team as a halfback? He looked at me like, what in the world kind of questions I had? He said, no, sir. I said, but somebody called you, asked you to come preach. I said, don't make no difference how old you get, how feeble you are. Amen. There'll never be a time, God, amen, don't need you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, thank God. Have a purpose planted by the river of water. You may be old and maybe hobbling around on a cane. I don't know. But praise God, you can still be blessed, still be happy, planted by the water. Amen. Bearing fruit. Thank God. Living for God. Serving the Lord. Enjoying the will of God for your life. The devil can't offer you that. The world can't offer you that. The flesh can't offer you that. But there's a God in heaven that can, thank God.
He's a blessed man. He's a blessed man. He succeeds. He's fruitful. He's fruitful. We see his steps, who he follows. We see his stand, who his friends are. We see his seat, that's who he fellowships with. We see the scripture in his life. That's what his foundation is. We see his success. That's the fact that he's fruitful. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? You happy? Are you satisfied with Christ? Content? Doing the will of God? Amen. I got home last night. Didn't sleep much the night before. Got up early. I don't know, probably 6 or so. And went in the study and tried to meditate and think on the message. Pray a little bit. Got ready. We left out and drove an hour and 15 or 30 minutes to the meeting. Sat there, preached. Soaking wet like I am right now. Come home. I was tired. But I'm going to tell you what, on the way home, all I could think about, that I'd rather preach. I'd rather preach. It don't make no difference how many was there. I would rather preach and know that the touch of God is on what I'm doing than all the accolades you could stack up that the world could give for prosperity in this flesh. No one can fulfill you like that. No one can satisfy you like the will of God can.